I won't tell you to turn anywhere, but I just tell you to open your Bibles, because we are going to do a Bible study tonight. Last week, we finished up the book of 2 Timothy, the last part of 2 Timothy. In verse 8 of chapter 4, Paul wrote, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And as I was studying that verse, the Lord just laid on my heart that it would be a good Bible study to study the different crowns that we can earn here on earth and send ahead to heaven. The Bible talks about five of those crowns, and we're going to talk about five of them tonight. And again, these are crowns that are given to Christians for their dedication and service to the Lord in different areas. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I won't ask you to turn to every scripture I'm going to read tonight, but I'll ask you to turn to some of them with me. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Of course, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was teaching a great multitude of people that were around him that day. And in verse 19, he talks about treasures. He says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And that's true. Where our treasures are, that's where our affection will be. That's where our heart will be. And he says, anything that you lay up down here is open to corruption. I mean, some of it will rot. Some of it could be stolen. And when we usually think about treasures, earthly treasures, we think about things. I mean, we think about houses or automobiles or boats or bank accounts or different things that we own. But I'll just remind you tonight that the treasures in heaven will not be material things. They will not be things that we own in heaven. I don't think we'll have a desire in heaven for earthly or material things. And I think if God wanted us to have material things in heaven, he'd give them to all his children. I mean, he would give them to everybody. Treasures in heaven are spiritual things. Treasures in heaven are those that we can work for here and send on ahead and get into that place where they will not be corrupted. They cannot be stolen. And I believe that the treasures that Jesus was talking about here on the Sermon on the Mount were the crowns that we can win for serving him. Now, before I get to talking about the five different crowns, I want to remind all of us that good works are not what gets us into heaven. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We get to heaven, we get saved, we become a child of God, we get our sins forgiven, however you want to say it, all of it comes together when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. On Calvary, he paid for every one of our sins. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God laid on him all of our iniquities. And on Calvary, he paid our sin debt. He paid what we owe. And because he did, he offers to every single person the gift of salvation. It is a gift. It is not something that we earn. It is not something that we can pay back. It is not something that we have to work to keep. And I'll say a couple of things about that in just a minute. But it's a gift that if we receive that gift, if we receive the gift of life, the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased on Calvary, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or let me say it another way. And somebody mentioned this to me several weeks ago. Our name is not erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I don't want to get off chasing that rabbit, so let's just keep going on. But just think about that. But our name gets in the Lamb's Book of Life. It stays in the Lamb's Book of Life. and we become part of God's family. And like I said a moment ago, there's no way we can pay him back. How? Some people say, well, if I work hard enough, I can pay God back for my salvation. No, you can't. Because we weren't saved by corruptible things like silver and gold. We were saved with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's priceless. You know, MasterCard can say all these other things are priceless. They have no idea what priceless really is. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is priceless. And we don't have to work to keep it. If it's a gift, you don't have to work to keep that gift. If somebody gives you a gift, it's yours to keep. God's not an Indian giver. And if we had to work to keep it, don't you think God would put in his word how much works we'd have to do to keep it? And I can't find one verse in the Bible that tells me how much I got to work to keep my salvation. I don't have to work to keep it. It was a gift from God, his mercy, his grace given to me. I can't pay it back. I don't have to work to keep it. My works are in obedience to God's, to my Savior and to my Lord. My works are doing what he tells me to do, to spread the good news of Christ, to live a life that reflects the change that should come into every single person that gets saved. And the Bible says that God will judge our works. Again, not judge our salvation, because again, he's given that to us as a gift, but he will judge our works after we get saved, whether they are good or bad. And the Bible says those works will be judged by fire. So if you still have your Bibles open, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll look down at verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Here's what the Bible says. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So in verse 12, there's six kind of materials mentioned. Three of them will go through the fire. Three of them will be burned up in the fire. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, they'll go through the fire. The wood, hay, and the stubble, they won't. They'll be burned up. And so the first three, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, they represent good works. The last three, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the works that will be burned up, they represent bad works. All right, so you might ask the question, well, what are good works, preacher? What are bad works? What are works that are gold, silver, and precious stone? What are works that are wood, hay, and stubble? Well, the works, I'll just put it real simple. The works that we do to bring glory to God, the works that we do that point other people toward him, those are the good works. Those are the gold. Those are the silver. Those are the precious stone. The works that we do to bring honor or recognition or glory to ourselves, those are the works that are going to be burned up. That's the wood, hay, and the stubble. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. You don't need to turn to it, but let me just read verses 2 through 4. Again, from the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so if they get the glory of men, if they draw attention to themselves, that's the only reward they're going to get. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So again, the works that we do to bring honor and glory to God, those are the good works. The works that we do that don't bring honor to him, that bring honor to us, are the bad works, the wood, hay, and the stubble. And so again, whether our works are good or bad has nothing to do with salvation. Once we become the children of God, the Bible says over and over and over again that nobody can take that away from us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Our works may burn up because they bring glory to ourselves, but we're still saved, and we'll still go to heaven. Again, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's the last place we've read. Look at verses 14 and 15. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So if he build with gold and silver and precious stone, they'll abide. They'll be rewarded. Verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, the wood, hay, and the stubble, the works that bring glory to ourself, he shall suffer loss, the loss of those works, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so again, our works may be bad works and be burned up, and we will not be rewarded for those works, but we'll still be saved. So let's look at the five crowns. And there's five of them mentioned in the Bible that we can earn down here and send on ahead to heaven. First of all, let me remind you that God created us for good works. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," created in him when we got saved, "unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Again, God's desire is that every single person get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And before you were born, God had a plan for your life. Before I was born, he had a plan for my life. He had works that he wanted us to do after we were saved. I mean, you were not born and then got saved, and God said, "Well, now I got to figure out something for them to do." That's not the way it works. You were created on purpose. You were made by God, in God's plan. Again, his plan was that you get saved and then you go to work for him. So we were created unto good works. Paul tells us that if we work, we'll be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to work. The results are not up to us. The results are up to God. We just need to be faithful in doing what he's called us to do. All right, five crowns. The first one is called the incorruptible crown, sometimes referred to as the victor's crown. You're still in the book of 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 24 down through the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sort of waiting until I hear pages quit turning. Okay, verse 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The incorruptible crown, or the victor's crown, whichever one you want to call it, is given to those that deny themselves and serve others. It's given to those that keep their body under subjection, that is temperate. In other words, we don't partake of everything, but we deny ourselves so that we can serve others and serve God. This crown goes to those that keep sin out of their life so that sin will not affect their race or their fight for God. Sometimes those that win this crown also stay away from the good things. I mean, things that would be considered good, even to a Christian, but they stay away from them so as not to distract themselves from the things of God, not to distract themselves from their service to God, not to distract themselves from the service to others. Serving God is their number one priority. And anything that they have to give up in order for them to do that more effectively, in order for them to do that in ways that please God, they're willing to give up. They're willing to deny themselves so that they can serve, again, serve God and serve others. And so who are the kinds of people that win this crown? Well, missionaries win this crown. Because, for example, like Andy, I mean, they had to give up, Andy and Linda and the kids had to give up some things to go to Latvia and be a missionary. I mean, one of the things they give up was being with their parents and with their friends here in the state. And I'm sure if you talk to Gene, he would tell you that the conveniences of life that we enjoy here, they don't have them all over there. I mean, they denied themselves the good things that, I mean, all the rest of us enjoy by living in this place so that they could go serve God and serve others in that place. Christian school teachers that could just as easily teach in a public school and make more money have denied themselves that so that they can teach in a Christian school for less money and be in an environment where they can teach the Word of God. Volunteers that serve in orphanages or homeless shelters who receive no pay, deny themselves. I mean, they give up their time. They are denying themselves of other things they could do in that time to serve others and serve God. Even the nurse, I noticed that Chantel asked Georgette to be in the nursery again tonight, Brother Ferris, so this is the second week in a row. She's had to stay back there with Arnie. She's denying herself the fact of being in the service with us in order to serve others being back there. And so this crown is given to those who truly follow Jesus' command, instruction, when he said that we're to deny ourselves and to serve him and to serve others. The incorruptible crown. The second one we'll cover is the crown of life, sometimes called the martyr's crown. Turn over. This is mentioned twice in the Bible. I'll just ask you to turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. Verse 12, and then I'll read a verse from Revelation after we read this verse in James chapter 1. But James chapter 1, verse 12, here's what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let me read another verse from Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be then faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So this crown is given to Christians that faithfully serve God in spite of persecution up to and including death. Jesus said, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Stephen would be, the deacon Stephen would be a person that has received this crown. He was martyred for his stand for Christ. Pastor Saheed, that we have been praying for of late, is in the process of winning this crown. He's remained faithful. Though he's thrown in prison, though he's beaten, he's remaining faithful through that time of persecution. And I think as we grow closer to the end of time, as we grow closer to the day of the Lord, that more and more of us are going to have this opportunity to win this crown, because we will be persecuted if we stand for Christ. All right. The third one is the crown of rejoicing. You don't need to turn to it. Let me just read one verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, where the Bible says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul said that his crown of rejoicing were those at Thessalonica, who he wrote this letter to, that would be present in the Lord at his coming. In other words, those that were saved, those that are in Christ Jesus when he comes back, those that were brought to Christ by the witness of the Apostle Paul. And so the crown of rejoicing is a crown given to those folks that share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that have a passion for telling people that they're sinners and that they need a Savior and introducing them to Jesus Christ. And so everybody that in some way or another witnesses to other people. Maybe you take the Bible and you take them down the Roman roads and you tell them that they're a sinner and they need a Savior and there's a penalty for that sin and Jesus is the only Savior that works. Maybe it's passing out a tract. Maybe it's inviting people to church so that they can hear the gospel. Anything that anybody does to get people to Jesus Christ it makes them qualify to win this crown of rejoicing. Those that are obedient to the command that Jesus left us when he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, are eligible to win this crown of rejoicing. Those that are always on the lookout for people that need Jesus, and by the way, I think if we look for them, God will bring them across our path. God will bring us to those people that need Jesus and open up the door that we can witness to them. So the crown of rejoicing. Then number four is the crown of glory. So take your Bibles, 1 Peter, right after the book of James, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 2. We'll read verses 2 and 4, we'll read verses 2 through 4. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This crown is given to those that teach the word of God. So all those people back, all the adults back there tonight that are dealing with those little kids, I think Brother Jeff said, or Brother Terry said, we had 73 in Awana tonight. All the adults back there that will just be exhausted when they go home tonight that are teaching those little ones the word of God can win this crown of glory. Sunday school teachers can. Dads and moms can as they teach their children the word of God. Grandpas and grandmas can as they teach their children the word of God. Anyone that faithfully teaches the Bible can win the crown of glory. And then there's the last one, the crown of righteousness. And so we go back to the place that we were last week, to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This will be the last one I ask you to turn to. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's what it says. And we were in these verses last week. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. This crown is given to those that live a righteous life, a life that's approved by God, a life that's pleasing to God. A life that's not easy to live in this unrighteous world. Paul talked about it in verse 7. He described it as a fight. He described it as a race. He said the only way I could do it was to keep the faith. In other words, stay in the Bible and stay in the doctrines that are in the Bible. And Paul says that if we live that kind of life, if we live the life that pleases God, that we can win this crown of righteousness that he'll give us. And so, again, as we close, the incorruptible crown to those that deny themselves and serve God and serve others. The crown of life to those that faithfully serve through whatever kind of persecution comes, even death. The crown of rejoicing, those that have a passion for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. the crown of righteousness. I'm sorry, the crown of glory, those that faithfully teach the word of God, and then the crown of righteousness, those that live a righteous life. Those are the treasures that we can send ahead to heaven that will be given when we get there. And what will we do with them? I'll turn. That's right, Brother Laurel. Chapter 4 of Revelation. You don't need to turn there. I'll read two more verses and then we'll be done. For the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the thrones and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Talking about Jesus. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we work for these crowns, not so that we can wear them around proudly in heaven, but so that we can cast them at the feet of our Savior in an act of worship, in an act of devotion, in an act of love. And so again, there's nothing else that we can send to heaven from a material standpoint. We won't need anything material in heaven. The only thing that we can send on ahead where a moth won't eat it and it won't be rusted and it won't be stolen are those things that we do for God. And I would just encourage you, think about those crowns and think about the things that we've talked about. We need to strive to win as many as we can. Again, not so that we can brag, not so that we can say, well, look at what I've done or look at what I've got, so that we can live in a way that God wants us to live as Christians. You see, an unsaved person can't win any of these crowns. But to live our life the way that God wants us to live as Christians, be rewarded so that we can cast those rewards at Jesus' feet. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.